Tape number 9 in the series on the preparation for death, or Considerations on the Eternal Truths, by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. We continue now with the chapter on the love of God. Consider the special love God has shown to you in allowing you to be born in a Christian country and in the bosom of the true church. How many are born among idolaters, Jews, Mohammedans, or heretics, and are all lost? The number of those who have the happiness of being born in a country where the true faith prevails is small compared with the rest of mankind, and He has chosen you to be one of that small number. Oh, what an infinite gift is the gift of faith! How many millions are deprived of the sacraments, of sermons, of the examples of good companions, and of all the other helps to salvation which are found in the true church. And God is resolved to give all these great helps to you without any merit on your part, and even with a foreknowledge of your demerits. For when He thought of creating you and bestowing these graces upon you, He foresaw the insults which you would offer to Him. Affections and Prayers. O Sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, infinite good, infinite majesty, who has loved men so tenderly, how does it happen that Thou art so much despised by them? But among these men, Thou, O my God, hast loved me in a particular manner, and hast bestowed on me special graces, which Thou hast not given to so many others. And I have despised Thee more than others. I prostrate myself at Thy feet, O Jesus, my Savior. Cast me not away from Thy face. I would deserve to be cast off on account of my frequent ingratitude to Thee. But Thou hast said that Thou wilt not reject a penitent soul that returns to Thee. Him that cometh to Me I will not cast out. My Jesus, I am sorry for having offended Thee. Hitherto I have not known Thee. I now acknowledge Thee for my Lord and Redeemer, who hast died in order to save me and be loved by me. When, O my Jesus, shall I cease to be ungrateful to Thee? When shall I begin truly to love Thee with a true love? Behold, I this day resolve to love Thee with my whole heart and to love nothing but Thee. O infinite goodness, I adore Thee for all those who do not adore Thee, and I love Thee for all who do not love Thee. I believe in Thee, I hope in Thee, I love Thee, and offer my whole being to Thee. Assist me by Thy grace. Thou knowest my weakness. But if Thou didst bestow so many graces upon me, when I neither loved nor desired to love Thee, how much greater graces should I hope for from Thy mercy, now that I love Thee and desire only to love Thee? My Lord, give me Thy love, but a fervent love which will make me forget all creatures, a strong love which will make me conquer all difficulties in order to please Thee, a perpetual love which will never be dissolved between me and Thee. I hope for all graces through Thy merits, O my Jesus, and I hope for them through Thy intercession, O my Mother Mary. Second point, God has given Himself to us. But God has not only given us so many beautiful creatures, He was not content until He gave even Himself. He loved us and delivered Himself up for us. Accursed sin had robbed us of the divine grace and made us the slaves of hell. But to the astonishment of heaven and of all nature, the Son of God came to earth to become man in order to redeem us from eternal death and to purchase for us the grace and the eternal glory which we had lost. How great would be our wonder if we saw a monarch become a worm for the love of worms. But our astonishment would be infinitely greater at the sight of a God made man for the love of men. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, and in habit found as man, a God clothed in flesh, and the Word was made flesh. But the astonishment increases when we see all that this Son of God has done and suffered for the love of us. To redeem us, it would have been sufficient for Him to shed a single drop of His blood, or a single tear, or to offer a single prayer, for a prayer offered by a divine person would be of infinite value, and therefore sufficient for the salvation of the whole world, or of an infinite number of worlds. But, says St. Chrysostom, what was sufficient for redemption was not sufficient for the immense love which this God bore to us. He not only wished to save us, but because he loved us ardently, he wished to be loved ardently by us, and therefore he resolved to lead a life full of sorrows and humiliations, and to suffer a death, the most painful of all deaths, in order to make us understand the infinite love which he entertained for us. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. O excess of divine love, which all men and all angels will never be able to comprehend. I say excess, for Moses and Elias, speaking of the passion of Jesus Christ, called it an excess. Saint Bonaventure called the passion of Christ an excess of sorrow and of love. If our Redeemer had not been God, but a friend or a relative, what greater proof of love could he have given than to die for us? Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If Jesus Christ had to save his own father, he could not have done more for the love of him. If, my brother, you had been God and the Creator of Jesus Christ, what more could he have done for you than to sacrifice his life in the midst of a sea of torments and sorrows for the love of you? If the most contemptible man on earth had done for you what Jesus Christ has done for you, could you live without loving him? But what do you say? Do you believe in the incarnation and death of Jesus Christ? You believe these mysteries, and you do not love him? Or can you think of loving anything but Jesus Christ? He, says St. Augustine, has come on earth to suffer and to die for you in order to make known to you the immense love which he bears you. Before the incarnation, man might doubt whether God loved him tenderly. But now, how after the incarnation and death of Jesus Christ, can he any longer doubt that God loves him with the most tender love? And what greater tenderness of affection could he show you than to sacrifice his divine life for the love of you? Our ears are accustomed to hear of creation, of redemption, of a God in a manger, of a God on a cross. O holy faith, enlighten us. Affections and prayers. O my Jesus, I see that thou couldst have done nothing more in order to compel me to love thee, and I also see that by my ingratitude I have labored to force thee to abandon me. Blessed forever be thy patience, which has borne with me so long. I would deserve a hell made on purpose for myself, but thy death gives me confidence. Ah, make me understand well the claims which thou, O infinite good, hast to my love, and the obligations by which I am bound to love thee. I knew, O my Jesus, that thou didst die for me. How then, O God, have I been able to live for so many years in forgetfulness of thee? Oh, that the past years of my life commenced again! I would wish, O my Lord, to give them all to thee. But years do not return. Ah, grant that I may at least spend all the remaining days of my life in loving and pleasing thee. My dear Redeemer, I love thee with my whole heart, but increase this love within me. Remind me always of all that thou hast done for me, and do not permit me to be any longer ungrateful to thee. No, I will no longer resist the lights thou hast given me. Thou didst wish to be loved by me, and I desire to love thee. And whom will I love if I do not love a God of infinite beauty and infinite goodness? A God who has died for me, a God who has borne with me so much patience, and who, instead of chastising me as I deserved, has changed chastisements into graces and favors. Yes, I love thee, O God, worthy of infinite love, and I sigh and seek to live wholly employed in loving thee and forgetful of everything but thee. O infinite charity of my Lord, assist a soul that ardently desires to be entirely thine. O great Mother of God, Mary, do thou too assist me by thy intercession. Beg of Jesus to make me belong entirely to him. Third point, love that Jesus Christ has shown in his passion. Our astonishment increases when we consider the ardor with which Jesus Christ desired to suffer and die for the love of us. I have a baptism, says Jesus Christ, wherewith I am to be baptized, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? I am to be baptized with the baptism of my own blood, and I feel myself dying through a desire that my passion and death may soon come, that thus man may soon know the love which I bear to him. It was this desire that made him say on the night before his passion, with desire have I desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer. Then, says St. Basil of Seleucia, it appears that our God cannot be satiated with loving men. Ah, my Jesus, men do not love thee, because they do not think of the love which thou hast had for them. O God, how is it possible for a soul to live without loving God, if it considers that he died for its sake, and that he died with so great a desire of showing his love for it? The charity of Christ presseth us. St. Paul says it is not so much what Jesus Christ has done and suffered for our salvation, as the love which he has displayed in suffering for us, that obliges and, as it were, forces us to love him. Contemplating the love which Jesus Christ exhibits in his passion, St. Lawrence Justinian exclaimed, "We behold the all-wise infatuated through excess of love. We have seen a God, as it were, foolish through the excess of his love for us. And who could ever believe, had not faith assured us of it, that the Creator would die for his own creatures?" In an ecstasy, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, carrying a crucifix in her hands, exclaimed, "Yes, my Jesus, thou art foolish through love." This the Gentiles also said when they heard the apostles preaching the death of Jesus Christ. They, as St. Paul attests, regarded it as folly which could not be believed. "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews indeed a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness." "And how," said they, "could a God that is most happy in himself, and stands not in need of anyone, descend on earth to become man, and die for the love of men who are his creatures?" This would be the same as to believe that a God had become foolish for the sake of men. But it is of faith that Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, has delivered himself to death for the love of us. Christ hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us. And why has he done so? He has done so that we might no longer live to the world, but only to that Lord who has died for us. Christ died for all, that they also who live may not live to themselves, but unto him who died for them. He has done it that by the love which he has shown us, he might win all the affections of our hearts. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Hence the saints, contemplating the death of Jesus Christ, thought it very little to give their life and all things for the love of so loving a God. How many noblemen, how many princes, have left relatives, riches, country, and even kingdoms, to shut themselves up in a cloister in order to live only to the love of Jesus Christ? How many martyrs have sacrificed their life? How many tender virgins, renouncing the nuptials of the great, have gone with joy to death in order thus to make some return for the affection of a God who had died for their sake? And, my brother, what have you hitherto done for the sake of Jesus Christ? As he has died for the saints, for St. Lawrence, for St. Lucy, for St. Agnes, so he has also died for you. What do you intend to do during the remaining days of life which God gives you, that you may love him. From this day forward, look frequently at the crucifix, and in looking at it, call to mind the love which Jesus Christ has borne to you, and say within yourself, Thou hast then, my God, died for me. Do this at least, I say, and do it often. If you do, you cannot but feel yourself sweetly constrained to love a God who has loved you so tenderly. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Redeemer, it is true that I have not loved thee because I have not reflected on the love which thou hast borne me. Ah, my Jesus, I have been very ungrateful to thee. Thou hast given thy life for me by submitting to the most painful of all deaths. And have I been so ungrateful as not even to think of thy sufferings? Pardon me. I promise, O my crucified love, that from this day forward thou shalt be the only object of my thoughts and of all my affections. Ah, when the devil or the world presents me a forbidden apple, remind me, O my beloved Savior, of the pains which thou hast endured for my sake, that I may love thee and may never more offend thee. Ah, if one of my servants had done for me what thou hast done, I could not bring myself to displease him. And I have dared to turn my back so often on thee, who hast died for me. O beautiful flames, which have obliged a God to give his life for me, come, in flame, fill my whole heart, and destroy all affections to created things. Ah, my beloved Redeemer, how is it possible for me to contemplate thee, either in the manger, in Bethlehem, on the cross, on Calvary, or in the sacrament on our altars, and not be enamored of thee? My Jesus, I love thee with my whole soul. During the remaining years of my life, thou shalt be my only good, my only love. I have unhappily lived long enough, forgetful of thy passion and of thy love. I give thee all things, and if I do not give myself to thee as I ought, take me and reign in my whole heart. Thy kingdom come. May my heart be the servant only of thy love. May I speak of nothing else. May I treat of nothing else. May I think of nothing else. May I sigh and desire only to love and please thee. Assist me always by thy grace, that I may be faithful to thee. In thy merits I trust, O my Jesus. O Mother of fair love, make me ardently love thy Son, who is so amiable, and who has loved me so tenderly. Consideration 24 in the Preparation for Death. Holy Communion. Take ye and eat. This is my body. First point. The Eucharist is a precious gift. Let us consider the great gift which Jesus Christ has bestowed on us in the institution of the Most Holy Sacrament, the great love he has shown to us in this gift, and his great desire that we should receive this gift. Let us, in the first place, consider the great gift which Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us in giving us himself entirely for our food in the Holy Communion. St. Augustine says that Jesus Christ, through an omnipotent God, has nothing more to give us. And what greater treasure, adds St. Bernardine of Siena, can a soul receive or desire than the sacred body of Jesus Christ? The prophet Isaiah exclaims, Make his works known among the people. O men, proclaim aloud the loving inventions of our good God. And if our Redeemer had not bestowed this gift upon us, who among us could have asked it? Who could have dared to say to him, Lord, if thou wishest to make us understand thy love, remain under the species of bread, and permit us to make thee our food? Even to think of it would be considered folly. Does it not, says St. Augustine, appear foolishness to say, Eat my flesh, drink my blood? When Jesus Christ made known to his disciples this great gift of the Most Holy Sacrament which he wished to leave us, they could not bring themselves to believe it, and therefore they departed from him, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? This saying is hard, and who can hear it? But what men could never imagine, the great love of Jesus Christ has invented and executed. Saint Bernardine says that the Lord has left us this sacrament as a memorial of the love he has shown us in his passion. And this accords with what Jesus Christ himself has said, "Do this for a commemoration of me." The love of our Savior, adds Saint Bernardine, was not content with sacrificing his life for our salvation. Before his death, this love constrained him to bequeath to us the greatest gift which he had ever bestowed upon us, by giving us himself for our food. The Abbot Garrick says that in this sacrament, Jesus made the last effort of love. This was better expressed by the Council of Trent, which declared that in the Eucharist, Jesus poured out all the riches of his love for men. How great, says St. Francis de Sales, the tenderness of love which a prince would show to a beggar by sending him a part of what he had on his own plate. How much greater would it be if he sent him the entire of his own dinner? But what would it be if he sent him for his food a part of his own arm? In Holy Communion, Jesus gives us not only a portion of his own dinner, not only a part, but the entire of his body. "Take ye and eat, this is my body." And with this body, he gives us his soul and his divinity. In a word, St. Chrysostom says that in giving you himself in Holy Communion, he gives you all that he has and reserves nothing for himself. And the angelic doctor says that in the Eucharist, God has given us all that he is and has. "Behold," exclaims St. Bonaventure, "that God, whom the world cannot contain, makes himself our prisoner in the most holy sacrament." And since the Lord gives himself entirely to us in the Eucharist, how can we fear that he will refuse us any grace which we ask of him? "How," says St. Paul, "hath he not also with him given us all things?" Affections and Prayers. O my Jesus, what has induced thee to give thyself entirely to us for our food? After this gift, what more remains for thee to give us in order to oblige us to love thee? Ah, Lord, give us light, make us understand the excess of thy love in becoming food in order to unite thyself to poor sinners. But if thou givest thyself entirely to us, it is just that we too give our whole being to thee. O my Redeemer, how have I been able to offend thee, who hast loved me so tenderly, and who hast done so much to gain my love? Thou hast become man for my sake, thou hast died for me, thou hast become my food. Tell me, what more couldst thou have done? I love thee, O infinite goodness, I love thee, O infinite love. Lord, come often to my soul, inflame my whole heart with thy holy love. Grant that I may forget all things in order to think only of thee, and to love nothing but thee. Most Holy Mary, pray for me, and by thy intercession, make me worthy to receive thy Son frequently in the Holy Sacrament. Second point, the Eucharist is a gift of love. Let us consider, in the second place, the great love which Jesus Christ has shown us in giving us himself in the Holy Eucharist. The Most Holy Sacrament is a gift which has proceeded from pure love. For our salvation it was necessary, according to the decree of God, that the Redeemer should die, and by the sacrifice of his life satisfy the divine justice for our sins. But what necessity was there that Jesus Christ, after having died for our redemption, should leave himself to us for our food? But this his love wished to do. He, said St. Lawrence Justinian, instituted the Eucharist for no other purpose than to show his great charity, for no other purpose than to make us understand the immense love which he bears us. This is precisely what St. John has written. Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Knowing that the time of his departure from this earth had arrived, he wished to give us the greatest proof of his love by bequeathing to us this gift of the Most Holy Sacrament. This is the precise meaning of the words, "He loved them to the end." That is, according to Theophylactus and St. Chrysostom, He loved them with an extreme love. And mark what the Apostle has observed, that the time at which Jesus Christ wished to bequeath this gift was the time of His death. The Lord Jesus, the same night on which He was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take ye and eat, this is My body." At the very time that men prepared for Him scourges, thorns, and a cross to crucify Him, the loving Savior wished to leave us this, the last proof of His love. And why at death, and not before that time, did He institute this sacrament? Because, says St. Bernardine, the marks of love given by friends at death make a greater impression on the memory and are preserved with greater affection. Jesus Christ, says the saint, had already given Himself to us in many ways. He had given Himself to us for a companion, a master, a father, for our light and our victim. The last degree of love remained, and this was to give Himself to us for our food, in order to unite Himself entirely to us as food is united with Him who eats it. This He has done by giving Himself to us in the Most Holy Sacrament. Thus our Redeemer was not content with uniting Himself only to our human nature. He wished by this sacrament to find a means of also uniting Himself to us, to each of us, in particular. St. Francis de Sales says that in no other action can the Savior be considered more tender or more loving than in the institution of the Holy Eucharist, in which He, as it were, annihilates Himself and becomes food in order to penetrate our souls and to unite Himself to the hearts of His faithful servants. Thus, says St. Chrysostom, with that Lord on whom the angels dare not fix their eyes, we are united and are made one body and one flesh. What shepherd, adds the saint, has ever fed his sheep with his own blood? Even mothers entrust their children to the care of nurses. But Jesus, in the sacrament, nourishes us with His own blood and unites us to Himself. And why become our food? Because, says the saint, He loved us ardently, and by making Himself our food, He wished to unite Himself entirely to us and to make Himself one thing with us. Then Jesus Christ wished to perform the greatest of His miracles. He hath made a remembrance of His wonderful works. He hath given food to them that fear Him, in order to satisfy His desire of remaining with us, and of uniting in one our heart and His own most holy heart. O wonderful is Thy love, O Lord Jesus, exclaimed Saints Lawrence Justinian, who wished to incorporate us in such a manner with Thyself that we should have one heart and one soul, inseparably united with Thee. That great servant of God, Father de la Colombière, used to say, "If anything could shake my faith in the mystery of the Eucharist, I would not doubt of the power, but rather of the love, which God displays in this sacrament. If you ask me how bread becomes the body of Jesus, how Jesus is found in many places, I answer that God can do all things. But if you ask me how it is that God loves men so as to make Himself their food, I can only say that I do not understand it, and that the love of Jesus cannot be comprehended. But, O Lord, to reduce Thyself to the condition of food appears to be an excess of love not suited to Thy majesty." But St. Bernard's answer is that love makes lovers forget their own dignity. St. Chrysostom also answers that love seeks not what is convenient when there is a question of making itself known to the beloved. It goes not where it ought, but where it is carried by the ardor of its desire. Justly, then, has the angelic doctor called this sacrament a sacrament of love, a pledge of love. And St. Bernard calls it love of loves. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi used to call Holy Thursday, the day on which this sacrament was instituted, the day of love. Affections and prayers. O infinite love of Jesus, worthy of infinite love, ah, my Jesus, when shall I love thee as thou hast loved me? Thou couldst do nothing more to make me love thee, and I have forsaken thee, O infinite good, for the sake of vile and miserable goods. Ah, enlighten me, O my God, discover to me always more and more the greatness of thy goodness, that my whole soul may be enamored of thee, and that I may labor to please thee. I love thee, O my Jesus, my love and my all, and I wish to unite myself frequently to thee in this sacrament, in order to detach myself from all things, and to love thee alone, who art my life. Through the merits of thy passion, assist me, O my Redeemer. O Mother of Jesus, and my Mother, do thou too assist me. Beg of him to inflame my whole heart with his holy love. Third point. How much Jesus Christ desires to unite himself to us. Let us, in the third place, consider the great ardor with which Jesus Christ desires that we should receive him in Holy Communion. Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, but how could Jesus call the night on which his bitter passion should commence his hour? He calls it his hour because on that night he was to institute this divine sacrament in order to unite himself entirely to his beloved souls. This desire made him say, "With desire I have desired to eat this Pasch with you." Words by which the Redeemer wished to show us the great ardor with which he desired to unite himself to each of us in this sacrament. With desire I have desired. Words which, according to St. Lawrence Justinian, proceeded from his immense love for us. This is the language of the most burning love. The Redeemer wished to give himself to us under the appearance of bread, that all might be able to receive him. Had he given himself to us under the appearance of costly food, the poor would not be able to receive him. And had he instituted the Holy Sacrament under the appearance of any other cheap food, this perhaps would not be found in all parts of the world. Jesus wished to leave himself under the species of bread, because it costs but little and is found in every country, so that all persons in all places may find him and receive him. Through his great desire that we should receive him, the Redeemer not only presses us to receive him by so many invitations, "Come, eat my bread and drink the wine which I have mingled for you. Eat, O friends, and drink, and be inebriated, my dearly beloved." But he also commands us to receive him. "Take ye and eat, this is my body." Moreover, he endeavors to allure us to the holy table by promises of eternal life. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life everlasting. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." He also threatens to exclude from paradise all who neglect to receive him in the Holy Sacrament. "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." These invitations, promises, and threats all proceed from the ardent desire of Jesus Christ to unite himself to us in this sacrament. And this desire springs from the great love which he bears us. For as St. Francis de Sales says, "The end of love is nothing else than to be united with the object of love." And because, in this sacrament, Jesus unites himself entirely to the soul, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him." Therefore, he desires so ardently that we should receive him. Our Lord said one day to St. Mactilde, "The bee does not cast itself on the flower from which it sucks the honey with as much ardor as I come to the soul that desires to receive me." Oh, if the faithful understood the great blessing which Holy Communion brings to the soul! Jesus is the Lord of all riches, for his Father has made him master of all things. Knowing that the Father hath given him all things into his hands. Hence, when Jesus Christ comes to a soul in Holy Communion, he brings with him immense treasures of graces. "Now all good things, says Solomon, speaking of the eternal wisdom, came to me together with her. St. Denis says that the Most Holy Sacrament has the greatest efficacy in sanctifying the soul. And St. Vincent Ferrer asserts that the soul derives greater profit from one communion than from fasting for a week on bread and water. The communion, as the Council of Trent teaches, is that great remedy which delivers us from venial and preserves us from mortal sins. Hence, St. Ignatius, martyr, has called the Most Holy Sacrament the medicine of immortality. Innocent III has said that by his passion, Jesus Christ has delivered us from the punishment of sin, but by the Eucharist, he preserves us from the commission of sin. Moreover, this sacrament kindles the fire of divine love. He brought me into the cellar of wine. He set in order charity in me. Stay me up with flowers, compass me about with apples, because I languish with love. St. Gregory of Nyssa said that Holy Communion is the cellar of wine, in which the soul is so inebriated with divine love that she forgets the earth and all creatures. It is thus the soul languishes with holy charity. The Venerable Father Francis Olympio of the Order of Theatines used to say that there's nothing that so powerfully inflames a soul with divine love as Holy Communion. God is love and a fire of love. God is charity. My God is a consuming fire. And this fire of love, the eternal Word, came to light upon the earth. I am come to cast fire on the earth, and what will I but that it be kindled? Oh, what burning flames of holy love does Jesus kindle in the souls who receive him in this sacrament with a desire of being inflamed with his love. St. Catherine of Siena saw one day, in the hands of a priest, Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, like a furnace of love, and wondered that the hearts of all men were not set on fire and reduced to ashes by the flames which issued from the Holy Eucharist. St. Rose of Lima used to say that in receiving Jesus Christ, she felt as if she received the sun. Hence, she sent forth from her countenance rays which dazzled the sight, and the heat emitted from her mouth after communion was so intense that the person who reached her a drink felt her hand scorched as if she approached a furnace. In visiting the Most Holy Sacrament, St. Wenceslaus, king and martyr, was inflamed even externally with such a degree of heat that the servant who accompanied him, when obliged to walk in the snow, trod in the footsteps of the saint and thus felt no cold. The Eucharist, says St. John Chrysostom, is a fire which inflames us, that like lions breathing fire we may retire from the altar, being made terrible to the devil. The Holy Sacrament is a fire which inflames the soul to such a degree that we ought to depart from the altar, breathing such flames of love that the devil will no longer dare to tempt us. But some will say, I do not communicate often because I am cold in divine love. But, says Gerson, he who acts in this manner is like the man who refuses to approach the fire because he feels cold. The greater, then, our tepidity, the more frequently we ought to receive the Most Holy Sacrament, provided we have a desire to love God. If, says St. Francis de Sales in his Devout Life, you are asked why you communicate so frequently, say that two sorts of persons ought to communicate often, the perfect and the imperfect, the perfect to preserve perfection, and the imperfect to acquire perfection. St. Bonaventure says that though you feel tepid, approach, trusting in the mercy of God. The more a person feels sick, the more he stands in need of a physician. And Jesus Christ says to St. Mechtilde, when you are to communicate, desire to have all the love which any soul has ever had for me, and I will accept your love in proportion to the ardor with which you wish for it. We will continue with the preparation for death and the chapter on Holy Communion on side B of this tape.